in the summer of 1861. 45 was abounding and corn was transported to Fort Wingate. This was the time when the Navajo were wally riding, feeding, that perhaps the soldiers were leaving forever. They found Juan's horse near Fort Wingate and sold them, thinking perhaps that they belonged to a white image. Juan and his father-in-law followed, and before the mistake could be cleared up, Juan was killed. Now there was no one to interpret it between the government and the Navajo. There were no more attempted at peace, and by 1863, Kit Carson compounded was under all way. The Navajo who were feeling to words the wilderness at Gray Mountain and the garments of Grand Canyon. She's mother with her baby and her father was among these who felt west near the Hopi village. The party ran out of food. No man dared to go to the village to trade for corn, since the Hopi were their deathly image. However, they thought some woman might go as a signal of peace. Three women volunteered. She dodged Munner among them. She never came back. It was an aunt who brought Chi up. She hid with him for a year on Gray Mountain. And in Grand Canyon, she took him to Fort Summers and finally back again to 45. Here the event happened that which was to provide Chi Dodge with an education more thoroughly than any provided by the little days school. This aunt married to a white man. This was Perry Williams, assistant clerk as an agent. Williams took the bright little appointment in to his home and gave him a name of a white agent who had been loved by the Navajo. Henry Dodge, Navajo called the youngster Chi in Red. Chi Dodge used to bliss that he had never been to school but 2 months in his life. Still, he did not need to school. Every day he heard English spoken without knowing it. He had a chance to learn the white man's habit of saving and his way of planning business. It is not the kind of training which makes it naturally for people to take up new ways. When Navajo comes to a little day school for a few weeks or a few days, they hardly got a glimpse of what was needed. So they went home where they would feel usefully. In these first years of reservation life, most of the children were out at work. Happened their parents. Meantime, Chi Dodge was growing up at the ford, ready to explain whites to Navajos when the time came. The people scattered to their homes after the sheep were given out and some herd years began. The government had planned that in 10 years they would support themselves by their crops and sheep. However, neither the government nor the Navajo had thought such about the thickly, trickly southwestern weather, which is always and on the verge of drought. The rainfall at best is only just enough. If some summers there are a few inch less, the crops are rained. The animals died and the people may starve. This happened more than once in the first year after summer after Fort Summers, so that Congress was always having to make extra operation or else the army furnish food out of its own supply. During these first 10 years, the treaty had promised that every 2 years any heads of a family who was rich in elva culture should have $25 worth of tool and supply. These tools did not come. For one thing, some of the promised money dragged away in rations. For another, the government was having trouble getting started in its post-war life, just as the Navajo were having trouble in theirs. Both sides had made treaty promise without a full understanding of all that would mean. Their new arrangement was like a machine put together in the shop and never tried it out. It was constantly broken down. At one point or another, some Navajo stated at Fort Defiance for all these 10 treaty years, each got $5 worth of clothing and raw material every year. Their children went to school when there was a school. It is no wonder when there was a school. It is no wonder that a modern kind of village grew up around the ford, and that new type in houses and clothing appear there before they did anywhere else. Still, new ways of life were coming into us even at the distance, grazing ground and water hole where the Navajo had gone with their sheep. They built their old homes and repaired to stay. Some houses were of good old fort stick types. That is when the Navajo would get long pole for the framework. Some were of rough, short jumpers, broads, pulled up in down shape. Both were circularly in shape as a Navajo house should be if any ceremony are to be held in it. Often in addition, a family built a new types of houses on a foundation of four upright poles. Old Navajo called this a four-legged house and says they never use it regularly until after the staying at Fort Summers. Perhaps it was suggested by the adobe building at the fort, for it had a square frame of pole and a flat roof. Through all was covered with earth in the old Navajo style. Clothing was different too. The busy woman had little time to weave their handsome blanket dress of black wool with wide red peltin at the top and bottom or around the middle. At least they did not bother with such things for little girls. For the two pieces which made up the flower